Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight. Hey, Rebecca.
Welcome. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. And for anybody joining, we are speaking with Rebecca Jenchak about we're going to be speaking about a lot of your books, but specifically Comeback. Congratulations on another publication.
Thank you.
I guess just jumping right into it. I actually discovered you, I feel like a few years ago, and now I'm completely blanking on the name of the book, so forgive me. But you have such a huge backlog of books and a lot of college. So I'm a big hockey fan. I'm wearing my Devil's hat right now. But college hockey romance, is that kind of where you got started?
It's when I started writing books that people started reading. But no, my first three books were small town.
Okay.
Books. And then the fourth one was an age gap that was like, she was just finishing college and he was a little bit older, but it was like a little bit angsty, like, so not, you know, my books now. And then I had this idea for a college basketball. I love college basketball. I played basketball growing up. So I had this idea for a college basketball player. And that's what started my sports. So that was the first book I wrote that people actually read, or, you know, read in quantities that I was like, oh, maybe I could, you know, maybe I could do this. And so I wrote a college basketball series first. And then as I was kind of getting involved in the romance world, you know, hockey romance is everything. So I was like, okay, maybe I could write hockey romance. And I was actually not a hockey fan at the time. And now I love hockey. So I got into it because I wanted to write it and I wanted to make sure I could do a good job of it. And then I became a hockey fan. So yeah.
It is the best sport, in my opinion.
So do you, with your, because you kind of live in that sports romance world, I'm assuming you do research for the sport, but like, how in depth do you go? And I'm going to ask you a second question because I will forget. So it's interesting with burnout, to start first, you have motocross and gymnastics. And you do mention in the book that a lot of motocross athletes use gymnastics for like strength training, stability, balance, coordination. I know with Playbook, obviously, it's a little different because we don't have the female as a sporting girl or, you know, whatever she does. But with Comeback, it's interesting enough that you bring in football and dance because a lot of football players do ballet. Again, same kind of I have like no words at 4 p.m. on a Tuesday. You know what I mean? Like they use ballet as a form, again, of balance, coordination, footwork, movement. Was that purposeful? For both books?
It was purposeful for Burnout, 100%.
Okay.
For Comeback, it was not as purposeful, but I love writing a sporty heroine because I'm a sporty girl. I love seeing that represented either professionally or even just women loving and enjoying sports. Like I think often in books, it's like the heroine who hates sports or knows nothing about them. Like that is like definitely a stereotype. And I have characters like that, but I really love when both of them are sporty in some way. So it was not necessarily intentional that she was ballet and he was football, but like intentional that they were both sporty.
And I liked that about Comeback. I mean, obviously in Burnout, she is an Olympian. Like she's it. Like she is your queen bee. But I do kind of like what you're going to say right just before with Comeback. You don't know if she did insane competitions. Was she on collegiate dance teams? Like you don't know who she was. You just know that she loved dance, especially because it was her mom that introduced her. So like as someone who used to dance, that resonates. And I like that also. And then same, I'm a runner. I am not good. I can do it. I'm not stupid, but it is nice. Like I consider myself a little bit of a sporty girl, but I'm no great shakes. You're not going to catch me winning medals or, you know, placing, but it's nice that that was in the book too. Like it's okay to do that and not be amazing at the sport.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. Yeah, it doesn't have to be your end game. It gets a little bit harder to do that with heroes, honestly, than it does heroines. Yeah. We seem to want to put our heroes as like the best, baddest, you know. I mean, there are definitely examples of books, not mine, but like of other people's books who have written like beer leagues and things like that. So there is a place for them. But I do think it's easier to do with heroines than heroes.
Yeah, and I liked how Archer in this, you know, he's coming back from his injury. He really is trying to find, I mean, obviously the name of the book is Comeback, but he's trying to make this like comeback to the team. He's trying to find his place on the team. Where does he fit in? What is really needed of him? And you kind of see, I feel like in a lot of these sports romances, the heroes are always these like very self-assured, very confident, like I'm the best, blah, 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 whatever. And like Archer, while he does have a lot of confidence in himself, he is really struggling with like where he fits and maybe not being good enough for the team or like good enough for his position. And I love like seeing one, how, you know, Brogan and even like London, everybody in his corner is team Archer 100% of the way. And then him kind of building that confidence back up throughout the entire book.
Yeah. Yeah, his is interesting because, like you said, it's not like he is a meek or most people wouldn't even say he's like insecure in any way, although he is. It just doesn't come across in the same. It's like a quiet vulnerability, I think, that he has that's different. And I couldn't imagine him any other way. And especially after writing Playbook, where he's just this, like, he's the guy, you know. It was nice to write something that was slightly different. It's like they're all of my books are sporty, but like it just kind of like varies on how much the sport plays a role. Mm-hmm. You know, I like it when the sport plays a big role, but I know that's not for everybody. Not everybody wants to read, you know, about the training and the games and all of that. So it's kind of a balance. I think I go back and forth where my books are sportier or not as, you know.
As a sports fan, I really can appreciate that. I've gotten on my soapbox on this podcast a few times, being like, don't call it this kind of romance if you're not really playing the sport, because then it's just like, if it's like a subplot, then it doesn't count. So I like the whole like aspect of them having to go to practice and watch film and getting ready for game. Like, I really enjoy that. And I think it makes the characters more well-rounded when you understand their passion for the sport that they're playing, specifically in these books, but just like their passion in life. And then seeing kind of how they fit everything else in, you know, Archer and Brogan, of course, making time for their brothers and time for their other relationships and then time for each other. I love the bromance. I mean, obviously they're brothers, but I love the bromance in general with even like the other players.
Yeah. No, their bromance is my favorite. So obviously. I'm sure you can tell.
Yeah, just a smidge. But I like their yin and their yang too. Like, I feel like you have Brogan, who's like so out there, like in your face. And like, you understand why. Again, like that good, well-rounded character, like understanding his past, how it drives who he is right now, what he wants for himself, future-wise and current state. But the same thing can be said for Archer. Like, you kind of get him sprinkled throughout the two other books. More so obviously in Playbook, and then you get him of course now with Comeback, but like again having, you know, the hearing loss and like how that has also molded him into who he's become, how his brothers are in his corner, but then he also has like another friend support, but then you get like that one little piece of crap kid on your team that like is in your also like who tries to like lower your morale, but like being a good person, like I don't know, I thought he was like such a like a wholesome boy, right? Like, he had his coach in his corner. Like, he kept his mouth shut the whole time. Because, like, throughout the whole book, I'm like, is he just going to flip on him? Like, are we going to have, like,
right?
Is he just going to, like, come home on the field and just, like, keep going? Like, what's going to happen? But it's, I don't know, it kind of gave you a good sense of, like, who Archer was. And, like, he's just such a good boy. Like,
he's
what you want for, your like, yourself. He's just, like, a nice guy.
Right? I know. I went back and forth on whether or not I wanted him to blow up to him. But then I, somewhere along the way, I decided like his real beef was not with him. It was like having the assurance to be like, you're, you know, you don't matter. I'm going to do right. my thing.
Yeah.
So there's like, you know, that quiet moment where he finally realizes like, no, I'm, you know, I'm better than this. And he silences it. But yeah, I went back and forth on whether or not, like, what would he do? It, like, you know, what would he, well, I'm sure he wanted to kick his ass. Let's be honest.
I mean, I would ensure like he's probably taking showers, like pretending to like actually like just have his face into like something. But I think like that's probably relatable to so many people, right? Like there's other athletes out there that maybe do have a disability in some sense who don't want to have it like exploited across. It's known, right? Like all of his teammates know.
Yeah.
But you still don't want people to like be like, did you hear that? Can you like, are you, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you don't want it blown up. So, and you're always going to have like that asshole bully.
Yeah.
There's someone everywhere. So like, it's just relatable yeah. to kind of like,
keep I think that there were like, I could have seen Graham going two ways. Like I went back and forth on which way he should go on if he was like meaning, like was he intentionally an asshole or was he that guy that just was just not even aware of, because you know, I think that, you know, that what plays into, you know, the insecurities and people feeling small in a lot of those moments is people being ignorant more than mm-hmm. anything. Yeah. Like it's not always the loud jerk, but in this case he was a loud, awful jerk. But
yeah, I was waiting for Graham to be, I was like, oh, maybe we're just misinterpreting him and he's like not that bad of a guy. And like there will be this like come to Jesus moment for him and they'll have this. And then I was like, no, he just keeps getting worse. Like he just keeps getting worse.
Yeah, no, he was just, he's just awful.
He's just awful. And sometimes you just have to have kind of those types of characters. And I loved what happened to him. So it was redemption. And I loved...
Karma always comes, right? Like what goes around comes around some way or another.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And I loved also just Sabrina's character in general. At first I was like, okay, is this going to be a very like, they weren't enemies to lovers, but like, you know, there was obviously a lot of animosity in the beginning, which I think just speaks to Archer's character in general. Like he is loyal to a fault. Like his people are his people and he will protect them like hands down, whatever. And you see that once he accepts Sabrina into his life, that he's also willing to do that for her. And I was a little worried. I was like, oh no, like, is he gonna, the whole, you know, with Graham buying the building, is he gonna break up with her as like a way to like try to save her? And I was like gearing up to get so mad.
Yes. I was like, Rebecca.
and then it was just so mature, which I feel like we don't really get a lot, especially in sports romances, where I was like, communication, maturity, like open dialogue between like what these, I was like, wow, this is just so nice.
That's literally, you took the thoughts right out of my head, because even in the beginning when she, I don't blame her for not spitting out right at the beginning why she ran off to go back home and leave Brogan. Like, she left, but like, you get a call like that, your first thought is, I gotta go home. Like, I need to go to my parents. I need to be with my mom during mm-hmm. this time. And I don't really blame her as an adult. I tend to just have like verbal diarrhea at times. Like, I'm one of those people who will just spew. And then 10 minutes later, I'll text Teresa and be like, holy shit, I'm gonna rethink my whole entire life and existence because I. But like, you know what I mean? So like, but it's nice as you get older in a sense, like to have that maturity to maybe like, shut your trap. Like, you don't need to tell everybody everything. So I will agree with that full heartedly. Like, it was so nice to have like start to finish, like a more mature read in that sense. Cause okay, I'm not going to tell you why I ran away. Get over yourself. Like you want to protect Brogan, but like, I also want my brother. I'll tell you when I'm ready. She did. And then same thing. Like I was like, here we go. Third act, pretend breakup or something. Like I was geared up also. I was like, and then you didn't do that. And I was like, I could kiss you. Like, this is amazing.
I can't tell you how much harder it is though. I mean, for me, anyway, maybe not across the board, but it's so much harder to not have a third act breakup. Like it is hard because you still have to provide enough tension or mm-hmm. pause in them emotionally or whatever to, you know, because you still have more of the book to, yeah. So it is harder, I will say. The books where I have a third act breakup, I'm like, oh, okay, we're there. Whew, now I can have them go get drunk and rethink their problems and, you know, win her back. But when they don't, you're like, oh, okay, now what do I have to do to...
I am a fan of a third act breakup if they're done well.
Yeah, me too.
And I just... Wait, was that a cat?
It was. It's my cat.
Okay, sorry. No, I have a cat. I'm obsessed with cats. I'm like, I heard that meow a mile away. I was like, there's a cat. There's a cat somewhere.
Real fast.
Delchio. She's like, somebody wants to see me. Yeah.
Anyway, whatever I was saying. No, but I think it made sense in this instance for there to not be. It would have caused too much turmoil. Like, Archer would never do anything. One, because he loves Sabrina, but he would never do anything to compromise his, like, relationship with Brogan. So like, it didn't make sense if he was the one to all of a sudden like pull back and like break her heart.
Yeah.
So I think like character wise it made sense. Yes. So I was happy like while reading it. I was like, oh, look at this. Mature adults.
But I never even thought it on the flip side from like what you just said, Rebecca, like to write a story that has like, you still need to pull your readers through. Like, you can't bore them. So like, you can write an amazing story and then all of a sudden you hit that whatever percent mark that you would typically have that third breakup. If you don't have it, then like, how do you, so like, I don't write. So that's why I'm sure. it's probably so hard to write that, but I do agree. Like, based on who they are character-wise, I think this made the most sense. I'm sure you would have crushed a third act breakup anyway if you wrote it in here, but it was nice to not have it in this one.
I love a grovel.
Oh, a grovel.
I love a grovel. So that's why I like a third act breakup. Yeah. Or they screw up and they've got a grovel.
Like, prove your worth.
The more groveling, the better. The more tension, the better. Like, we say it all the time, we love a spicy scene, but we love that, like, tension leading up to it so much more. And there was so much good tension in this book.
I was going to say, that scene when they are sitting together and he's like, this, like, he says what he says to her. I'm like, oh!
He says
what he says. Unzipping a little bit, and here we go.
That was my favorite. That whole section was my favorite part to write, I think. Where they were finally, like... having a moment.
Yes. And him having to like hold her throat.
Yeah.
Laying down. That was, I was like, oh.
I was like, wait, yeah, when like, I do that, I feel, and you're like, yes.
Yeah.
I was sitting like this a lot of times when I was writing. I was like, oh. Like things I.
Because not only is it so incredibly hot, of course, but it's also like this intimacy between the two, which is just like, give me more of that. Yeah. I loved it.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
So obviously we have more Holland brothers. Do you, of the three, and I know this is like the worst question in the entire world, people probably roll their eyes, like, have you had more, I'm not even going to ask like who your favorite, because I'm sure that
okay, good.
They're all my favorites. They're all my characters. They're all my books. They're all my stories. But like, have you had maybe more fun, or like you didn't like with the motocross? Like, was that something that was like, this is actually cooler than I thought it was? Like, was there like a ooh moment that maybe shocked you during this process so far with the series?
I think Knox's book was the most fun to write. But I had not written like real, I mean, calling them enemies is a little like, but they're pretty bandy. And I hadn't had one of those in a while. So that one was super fun for me to write. I also loved the motocross was fun. I grew up in the Midwest. Everybody had four wheelers and dirt bikes and, you know, so I was familiar enough. I mean, I had to do some research on what their actual like season was like and, you know, things like that. But the gymnastics was what was my favorite part of writing that. I want to write another gymnast heroine because my son does gymnastics. So I'm at the gym a lot and I see them doing stuff, but it just was reminded again of like how intense that is on their bodies, how precise they have to be, like how it's just, it's such an incredible sport. I am in awe.
It never gets recognition until like it hits the Olympics and like the Simone Biles things start coming out. But when I was doing my grad work, for athletic training. I was at Rutgers and they obviously have gymnastics team. And same, like I did it when I was younger, but like I was 8. It's nothing crazy. Teresa's brother-in-law used to be a gymnast, but again, like kind of at a certain level, it was done. It wasn't too rigorous. But yeah, like you don't realize like how intense the sport is. And like, you're getting judged on like minute details. Like it's like dance almost too. Like you can't sickle your foot. So you can't like curl your foot in too much. Like, but they use the same stuff. It's crazy. That probably was so cool to kind of look into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one was fun. They've all been fun, honestly, in different ways. I think Archer's was the hardest so far because I really wanted to get his hearing loss like represented well. Mm-hmm. And I just was nervous about it. I have experience like with hard of hearing and deaf people from my like a hearing perspective, but writing from his perspective where, I had to use a bunch of sensitivity readers and do a bunch of research, but I was the most nervous. So, I mean, it was still fun to write, but it was like also like, oh, wait, like, what would they, what would he do?
Yeah, because you want to make sure that you're doing, that you're not doing a disservice to the community, that you're like, honoring them. I honestly didn't even think of that, but that's great. Like, the sensitivity readers, I'm sure like that really, really helped. Unless you are the person who has like a hearing like disability, you wouldn't know what their like actual feelings or what they're going through. Even if like as a hearing able person, like you said, you have, the experience with, some deaf people, but you wouldn't be able to really understand unless you were. So, the sensitivity reader, I think, is great. I think a lot more authors should probably employ that in certain situations.
It was interesting too, because it wasn't necessarily the stuff that I was worried about, like saying harmful things or, it was like little things that I found so interesting. Like, I was really careful to anytime somebody needed to sign that they had both hands free.
Yeah.
And finally one of my sensitivity readers was like, I don't need two hands. I got this with one. Like they adjust, they accommodate, So little things like that where I was like, oh, okay. And then, I'm writing and I'm like, well, somebody's going to be like, she doesn't have two hands. But I was like, that doesn't matter. Anyone who knows will know that it's.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. And people are always going to nitpick in general. Like, oh, well, I wouldn't do it this way or I wouldn't. But yeah, I think it's nice. And I think it just like brings more awareness to a community that maybe some people don't have any experience in. So I thought that was amazing. Now I'm forgetting where my question was going to go. And Katie's nice because Katie's like, which one was the most fun to write? And normally I'm like, who's your favorite character ever? And you're going to tell me.
It's like someone asking me like, who's your favorite kid? Like both? Like, both sure of them. Like they're all your babies. These are all your, like, this is your work. So yeah, like I feel like I wouldn't like that question thrown at me. So.
No, I'm the worst. I'm like, tell me your
just the same. So yeah. I love them all just the same.
Yeah.
No, there's something like, tell me your deepest, darkest like family secret that you have. But it's fine.
Yeah, let her.
I mean, I know that we have Flynn's book next. My question is, because he's still relatively pretty young, is there going to be a time jump or is he just going to be like 21-year-old basically figuring his shit out, falling in love? Like, what can we expect from Flynn?
There is a small time jump.
Okay.
But he's pretty much young Flynn.
I love
figuring things out. I played with like how old to make him, but I love this idea of, especially because his heroine is a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved this idea of having this younger hero with this girl who's not that much older than him, a couple of years, but who has so much responsibility when he is the baby of the family with no responsibilities, basically. So I love the idea of that dynamic.
We met Greer, I was like, I have a feeling.
She needs.
Just like picture what we know of Flynn from the previous now 3 books. Him and Greer, I feel like the dynamic is going to be very funny.
Yes.
And definitely like endearing and heartwarming, but I'm just trying to picture like the two of them together and I love it. And I'm really excited and curious to see how everything with the father plays out from like Flynn's perspective, because we've only ever really gotten it from Knox and Brogan and Archer, who obviously don't have a very positive outlook on their father, understandably. So I'm really excited to see how you kind of work Flynn's perspective of their dad in.
Yeah, me too. No, when I started the series, I wasn't sure which way I was going to go with the father, if I was going to redeem him or not. And so it's been interesting as I feel like I've been on the journey with them of like, are we going to forgive this guy or not? Like, I'm kind of the Knox where I'm like, screw you. I don't need you.
I kind of like how I like how you started it too. Like, we have Knox, he has acted as dad, right? Like, that has been his assumed role and a role that he takes very seriously. Like, it was obviously a lot for him at such an early spot in his life. But I feel like for each of them, it makes sense how they've portrayed their emotions with their father. I am happy to see that, like, in the end, Archer did reach out and, like, his dad was at the game. But I still like that it's, like, we're not really talking, but, like, you're showing up. So, like, I think, I don't know, I'm really intrigued. I thought it was really nice. Like, I'm kind of like you. I'm a firstborn. I don't know if you are also. But, like, I have, like, that, like, you're not coming anywhere near this family right now. Like, I'm going to protect it. But it is nice to see, like, the dad has kind of opened up a bit to Flynn to let him know, like, yeah, no, I've effed up. And, like, this is what I've done. So I'm with you guys. Like, I'm excited to see where this goes.
I'm the baby of the family, so I'm the Flynn.
Okay. Well, that's fun.
Katie's like, well, I'll throw down for you if you need.
Thank you.
Don't worry. Like, you step aside and I will handle this.
Thank you, because I don't want to do it.
That's, you know,
baby of the family.
Yeah, I'm also the baby of the family, and I'm like, somebody else be mean for me.
Yeah, no, I will be mean. I'm really good at it. I might freak out about it after the fact and rethink everything, but I will do it up front.
Oh my gosh. You go.
Oh, I was gonna ask I thought of a question. I was like, I told Teresa this, and I was like, I am so proud of this question. It's not even like that great of a shake, but like, what has been the best like feedback or response or reaction to either like the series as a whole or one of your characters of the books? Has there been anything that has like stuck with you since this has all come out? Or see, I guess we'll talk about the Holland Brothers series just in general or this book.
Yeah, I think so. Hockey romance, as we said, is like king in sports romance. And I did not really consider this as I wrote the Wallflower series before this, and each of those are a different sport, but the sport's not really the point in those books. I mean, there's sports in it, but it's more about this group of girls. So anyway, I started this series. I decided I was going to start with Knox. I never even crossed my mind that like, oh, you're going to have to promote a motocross book in a hockey romance dominated genre. And a first book in a series is really important because if you don't get people in on the first book. And so like a month before release, I had this panic of like, what have I done? Like, he should have been the last book in the series. Like, once people already loved it, you know, done football first, all these things. And then people showed up for motocross. Like, and I think a lot of people showed up because they were like, oh, motocross, there's not a ton of those, not a ton of gymnastics. Like, so that has been the bet. Like, I think that's been the, you know, it's not a specific thing, but it's just that people were willing to take a chance on a series that was not like, none of these books are hockey, and I love hockey, but they're just, this is not a hockey series. And people have still shown up, and they've shown up in like big ways and just really loved them. And that has meant a lot.
That's awesome. I mean, burnout, I had surgery back in April when it came out, and it was like one of my favorite audiobooks. I thought the audio was just done like so amazing. Yeah. I recommend it all the time, but it was like the one thing I was like, oh, well, I want to keep listening to this book. So I have to like get out of the house and go for a walk and like get up off the couch and go for a walk. And Katie used to live like about, you know, like a 10-minute walk away, and I would like walk over there and like be like listening to my book. And then I'd be like, hang out for like 20 minutes, like have like a coffee. And then I'd like walk back home. Like, I was just looking for any excuse to kind of get out. And I couldn't really do much at the time. I was like, you know, kind of stuck. So It was so good. And then when Playbook came out, I was just like, die. I was like, okay, now I need this. And then when I knew Archer was coming next, I was like, if I don't get, well, like, you have put like crack into this series. Because like at the end of every book, I'm like, no, I want more. Like, when's the next one? When's the next? Like, you have just been feeding us for the last year, basically, of the Holland brothers. And I feel fed.
Oh, good. Holland brother crack.
Forever. Holland brother crack. Yes.
It's interesting that you say that with hockey romance, right? Because like, you're right. It's kind of like it's trumped the sport romance world. And like from, I'm sure from your, you just said it, like your perspective, if you don't write it, like, is someone going to read it? But it's interesting too, because it's like, though we love a hockey romance, obviously Teresa's a diehard hockey fan. I enjoy them as well. But like, it is really nice to see other sports reflected, and including the female aspect as well. Like something that a girl can also relate to, or even a guy gymnast, like, oh, hi, like I, or a guy that does dance. Like one of the kids I used to dance with was a phenomenal tap dancer. Like, so, you know, if he's a reader, like that'd be kind of cool to pick up. And she's talking about opening up a dance studio. Like, it kind of brought me back to like my days of like, oh yeah, like you have the bar, you have the mirror, whatever. But it is nice. Like, so it could be scary on one side, but like, it's very exciting for the reader on the other side too. So I get that, but I'm glad we really show up for you, because they're really good.
Yeah, me too. It's just like one of those things where I'm like, I should have thought of this before, but here we are. So,
So we know that we have Spotlight coming next. Is that your next release, or do you have something else in the works? Okay.
Yeah, that's my next release. And then I'm doing a YA series and a YA soccer series. I think that book is the next release I'll have sometime in the fall. And then I'll release at least one more book of a new series that I'm not totally exactly sure what that's going to look like. I have an idea. I'm just not, you know, so
your minds are fascinating. All the ideas just like rattling around in there.
It's like, it's not a shortage of ideas. Usually it's, for me anyway, it's like figuring out how to put them into like a series. Cause I write in series. So it's like, I have lots of like one-off ideas, but how do I put that into a series, especially because I like to write the multi-sport. Now that I've started writing multi-sport, I'm not sure if I can go back to writing a single sport. Like I love my Wildcats, and that was super fun. Had to do a team, but by the end of it, I'm always like, for the love of God, I'd like to write anything else, you know?
Well, we're really looking forward to it.
Yes.
We just thank you for joining us. Thank you for writing these amazing stories.
And giving us beautiful covers. These are
You're welcome. My illustrator is all thanks to that. She is amazing.
No, the cover.
Readers, you guys pick. I mean, like, again, chef's kiss across the board. $5. It's like holding up the tens.
Yes. 10 stars for the gymnastics across the board, and for the
covers. When I'm having a rough day, please hold up the 10 cards for me.
Yes, no, exactly. But yeah, like I said, thank you so much for joining us. We're really looking forward to everything that comes next. I have a lot more of your backlog to work through. I am getting through it. Once I become like obsessed with something, I kind of like just like, I can't stop.
Yeah, in the same way.
Yeah. So I think I started working through your backlog before burnout. I think it was like the fall of 2023.
Yeah.
You have a lot, but it's exciting because now I just, whenever I'm like, oh, what am I going to read? I'm like, oh, Rebecca.
My Rebecca book.
Yeah, exactly.
Plenty of them or whatever.
All right. Well, like I said, thank you so much. And maybe hopefully we could talk to you again when Spotlight comes out.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.